Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for your ears today. You probably heard that starting early next year, Bank of America is going to charge an extra $5 monthly fee if you use your debit card. It's just the latest bank to start charging extra fees for debit cards. And if it's got you wondering if there are other options besides moving your money under your mattress, you're not alone. Maybe you've got a little extra fuel in this consideration with Occupy Wall Street going on, but credit unions and community banks are out there and are good options for many. So right now we're going to get into exactly what a credit union or community bank offers, who they're good for, the pros and cons of both the big banks and the community ones, and what this all might have to do with Occupy Wall Street. Joining us now is Sarah Ludwig, co-director of New York's Neighborhood Economic Development Advocacy Project, NEDAP, which helps provide services for, Sarah, how would you characterize it? Financial services and advice for a lot of working class New Yorkers?
Yeah, we think of ourselves as a community economic justice organization that works with community organizations in New York City to press banks to be accountable to neighborhoods and to make sure that people who've been aggrieved, who've been harmed by deceptive or discriminatory financial practices, are able to vindicate their rights.
Why do the vast majority of people still bank at one of the big ones? In New York, it's Bank of America, Chase, Citi, HSBC, Wells Fargo, which recently arrived. Is it just that these big banks have branches all over the place?
Well, they definitely blanket the airwaves and, you know, they do a lot of advertising and they really dominate the industry. The four largest banks, Bank of America, Citibank, Chase, and Wells Fargo, far and away dominate the banking industry in the whole country. And many people don't, you know, the idea that all the neighborhoods have more access to them than other banks is not true. We've been actually tracking the location of bank branches in New York City for the better part of a decade. And you can look at our maps at our website, NEDAP.org, and you'll see that low and moderate income neighborhoods and neighborhoods that are mostly made up of immigrants and people of color are vastly underserved. There have been a lot of articles and radio segments about the proliferation of ATMs and other bank branches in New York City, but these are in whiter neighborhoods and predominantly middle and upper income neighborhoods. So we have a growing disparity there.
Now, listeners, you know how you can help in this segment, help your fellow listeners? We thought we might crowdsource the pros and cons of credit unions and community banks. So give us a call or post to our website to help us compile some information together that'll be useful for everyone. Tell us what the pros and cons are of the way you bank. Low fees, but hard to make deposits, high fees, but ATMs everywhere and good online banking resources, or whatever you see as the pros and cons of how you bank. And we will definitely save some lines for people who use credit unions, any credit union, and people who use what we might call community banks as opposed to the major banks. And also joining us is Joan Goldwasser, senior reporter for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Hi, Joan. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Hi. I'm glad to be with you.
What's your advice for people who are considering the move to a credit union? If you have multiple accounts with one of the big banks, say a checking and a savings or maybe an IRA or something, are there times that Kiplinger's or you would advise people to move over to a credit union?
Well, credit unions are always a good option. Often costs only $5 to join, and sometimes it doesn't cost anything. And they offer you the benefit. They don't have the branches, obviously, so you can't, you know, walk into a branch no matter, you know, where you are in your city or your, you know, region or even sometimes all over the country. But they do usually belong to one of these surcharge-free ATM network. So even if you're traveling, you can get money. You can get cash at one of these networks, Allpoint being one of them. And so, you know, that is not an issue for people.
So, Sarah Ludwig, there are tons of credit unions in New York. Each one has limitations on who's allowed to join. Unions have credit unions for their members. New York Times workers have a credit union. Churches have them. Transit unions, the transit workers, court workers, et cetera. How does that whole thing work? How do they, you know, limit who can join, and how does that help give people some kind of financial advantage on loan interest rates or whatever?
Well, credit unions are not-for-profit institutions. They're cooperative financial institutions. And the way that they work is they are chartered to serve either a particular neighborhood or a particular affiliation. It's a common bond is the idea of what credit unions are about. And they promote savings. And you have to be a member in order to take advantage of their loans and so forth. We at NEDAP are huge advocates for community development credit unions, which are neighborhood-based financial institutions, and everyone should know that credit union deposits are insured. There's a lot of misinformation about that. They're perfectly insured, and they provide checking accounts and savings accounts and many of the same products that you might find at a mainstream bank, but in fact are chartered to serve neighborhoods that banks have abandoned or largely underserved. So they have a social justice mission. People should look into, students out there should see if their schools have credit unions. A lot of universities and colleges have them as well. And we think that they are a very, very important alternative. And anyone who's considering moving their money, in fact, there's a huge national campaign right now called moveyourmoney.org that people who are thinking about it seize the moment and, you know, look at the credit unions out there and see if it's a good fit for you. We find that a lot of immigrant New Yorkers and others get much better service and much better pricing. It's much more affordable because credit unions aren't beholden to shareholders. They're beholden to their members who own the institution.
And there, I guess, is the hook to some degree with Occupy Wall Street, the Move Your Money project. The movement that you talk about, they cite the corruption and greed, their words, that caused, their word, the greatest economic crisis since the Great Depression. So maybe when people, you know, get off the Brooklyn Bridge, when that's finished, that's not to criticize it. That's just to say when they get to the other side and start thinking about their other personal options, maybe somebody's going to let them know that credit unions are a way to avoid Bank of America and Citibank and so forth. Now, Joan from Kiplinger's, there's often a better interest rate. I don't know if you get a better interest rate on your savings account, but there's also often a lower, say, mortgage loan rate and auto loan rate and things like that that you can get from a credit union. How much so typically, and how do they manage to do it? I thought the you know, the ability to give discounts would come with a big institution like Chase or Citi, and not with something that's small and is just run by its members.
No, you're right. Usually credit unions have a slight advantage. Now, it's not going to be a whole lot. It might be a quarter of a percent or somewhere in that neighborhood, both on, you know, what you pay for your mortgage or what your how much your interest rate will be if you borrow. And they're usually able to do it. They keep their mortgages. They don't, you know, often sell them to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are much more oriented towards the community, so they are more careful in who they lend money to. They know their borrowers, and so they're able to not have as many loans go bad on them. So that's another issue. And I wanted to remind people that if you want to find a credit union that you are eligible to join, there are at least two websites. You can go to creditunion.coop or culookup.com and, you know, put in your zip code and you can see what the credit unions are in your area and find one for which, you know, you are eligible.
We have a comment on our webpage from somebody posting as Pope John from Ridge, New York. And funny enough, I was just out in Ridge over the weekend, out along near Jericho Turnpike there out in Suffolk County. But Pope John from Ridge says, my credit union has very few conveniently located branches and even less ATMs, but I don't feel like I'm getting screwed every time my statement comes in. So that's the, I guess it's the social justice trade-off.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was talking about the community development credit unions that have the social justice mission, but the fact is that right now, a lot of people, for very good reason, are really alienated by the large banks. Bank of America is saying they need to charge people $5 a month to use their debit cards now because of regulation. And it's just something we don't buy at NEDAP, and your listeners shouldn't buy either, which is this notion that regulation is the reason that suddenly they need to pass along nickel and dime fees. It's, you know, the financial reform law that was signed last year doesn't even go far enough. It sort of creates a basic reasonable reforms. And, you know, if you think of Bank of America, this is an institution that has $2.34 trillion in assets. It is larger in asset size than the gross domestic product of most countries on this earth. And meanwhile, they need to charge people $5 a month to use debit cards because of an amendment that protects small business people from being gouged in their the use of how much can be charged for each time we swipe our card at the checkout counter using a debit card. So, you know, this is a bank that, and all the large banks are too big to fail. They've already been bailed out to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And they need to be accountable to the public. They need to function like the public utility that they, in fact, have become or should be because of the way that they've taken advantage of the public subsidies that they've received.
Mike on our Facebook page writes, I use an account at the NEFCU, which is open to all Long Islanders, formerly just Nassau educators, that gives me 4% interest as long as I either have a direct deposit regularly being made or use their debit card a certain number of times each month. It's a rare deal in this market. Janice on Facebook says, I'm switching over to USAA. Thankfully, I have that option as my husband is a vet. Chase is starting to take multiple fees for overdraft protection, $12 a transfer, and I am sure they will be following Bank of America's lead for debit fees as well. Forget them. Matt from Vermont writes, screw-free checking. My checking account pays 2% interest. So, you know, there's some good credit union.
Yes, I will. There definitely are, and I wanted to interject. USAA Bank is open to anyone. You don't have to be eligible to have an account at the a checking account at USAA Bank. And there are other credit unions. There, a Consumers Credit Union in Illinois is a credit union that has a wide field of membership. Anybody can join, and it reimburses you for your ATM use. So ATM fees should not be an issue for many people.
I'm going to move to Long Island so I can join this NEFCU and get 4% interest on my savings.
Well,
if that's accurate, who knows?
It is accurate, and although those interest rates change. You can go on a website called checkingfinder.com, and you can find these high-interest-paying accounts. Now, as your reader said, you'll probably have to use your debit card 10 or 12 times a month, and that's for purchases. I mean, it's the opposite.
Not so hard.
Right. But if you're willing to do that and have a direct deposit, those are free, high-interest-bearing checking accounts.
That's amazing. Two things. We have a minute and a half left, and I want to touch on two more facts that people may find useful real quick. Do community banks or do credit unions in particular use different criteria when offering credit? Sarah, is it harder to get a loan?
Well, community banks and credit unions should not be conflated into one category.
Right.
Community banks are the smaller banks that abound throughout the region. There's a wide spectrum of community banks, and some of them serve people in communities quite well and others not at all.
So do we mean by that, like, instead of City and Chase or whatever, I don't know, Apple Bank for Savings, Flushing Savings Bank, these things we see around the city?
Yeah, those tend to be the smaller banking institutions. But people need to check it out because some of them might have onerous overdraft protection or other, you know, fees, and you need to go and find out and ask around.
What makes them community other than that they don't have branches far and wide? Do they invest in community things more?
Well, I think it really spans the spectrum. So they're called community banks as a sort of industry category that might or might not mean that they're actually serving communities.
Right. And Joan, on the credit unions using different criteria when offering credit, is it harder to get a loan at a credit union because the rates are cheaper?
I don't know whether it's actually harder. Obviously, they will make more of an effort to find out, you know, something about you. They're going to talk to you personally. They will not use as much of the standardized criteria. They really try to, you know their members and be proactive in helping their members. But they, you know, they never got involved with the horrible mortgages that, right. Had no interest, only interest, no down payment, et cetera.
So there you go, folks. After you're done occupying Wall Street, you can now abandon Wall Street and go to community banks and credit unions if you so choose. Joan Goldwasser, senior reporter for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Sarah Ludwig, co-director of New York's Neighborhood Economic Development Advocacy Project, or NEDAP. Thank you both.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.